This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Marketing Mojo on Resource Center with me, Angeline Tay. The original boat noodle, the pioneer of the Thai-style boat noodle concept in Malaysia, set up operations in 2014. The homegrown brand currently has 21 outlets across the country. To date, the outlets have cumulatively sold more than 4 million bowls of noodle. With more outlets to come, we have the founder of the original boat noodle, Tony Lim, and Pramesh Kumar, head of marketing for Boat Noodle, to share on how they are keeping the shelf life of their brand in an industry where trends come and go quickly. Okay, so today we want to highlight the growth of Boat Noodle and then how much of investment you put into marketing. I think that's one of the lessons that we can learn from your company.
Right.
Yeah, so but first of all, how did the two of you meet?
I happened to be in Empire Damansara outlets. Well, this guy just walked up and said, "Hey, are you Tony?" I said, "Yeah." "So I have something to pitch to you." That's how it started. And yeah, we sat down and said, "You know what, why not come and help me? You know, I needed somebody." So yeah, that's how we met.
And how did you know he was Tony?
Well, it was around in the papers a bit, and I did a little bit of research about the company. But at the time, we were just doing digital media, and I was looking to start up a company in Malaysia. I had a local partner. And yeah, I walked up to him in shorts, and in New Zealand, we call it jandals. And a t-shirt, pretty much like what I am now, and just said, "Hey, this is what I have." And he really liked the way we were going, and he said, "We're going to grow into something massive," and I believed him. So yeah, so we
and
went.
That was 2 years ago.
That was about, well, over a year ago now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, over a year ago.
Because previously you came on BFM, you only had 4 outlets.
Yeah.
And today,
21.
21 outlets.
Last week, yeah.
Yeah. So tell us more about the growth. How much you have grown since day one?
21 outlets. For example, I think, let's say if we go back to the number of bowls of noodle being sold, well, the growth is rather exponential. Last year, 1 year itself, we sold about 4 million bowls. And as of this year, by the end of May, we have got up to 3.2 million. So it's quite exponential. In a way, I think we accelerated the opening a bit once we get hold of things. Fan base, maybe? Yeah, Prem will have more numbers about social media.
Yeah, I mean, we've grown. The bowl sold is quite, as Tony said, it's quite a lot. We've 3.2 million so far this year already. Last year, we sold a total of 4. We do love data. We have a guy specifically dedicated to giving us good data in the office, and it's part of the strategy we implement, which we need to know what's selling, what's not selling, and how much we're selling. It's not just simple, just go and say, "Let's do this for marketing." We can't do that.
Tell us more about this initiative that you're putting into getting data. How do you get those data, and what data are you getting?
Pretty simple. I think it comes from the point of sale system that we use. Of course, we try to also customize as much as we can to record as many data, you know, as much data as we can. And the number of people coming to the shop, we want it to be as accurate as we can.
Yeah, from our side, we look at the data, we look at trends, what's selling peak season, not peak season. Like, because we're only 2.5 years old, next year will be even more telling because we can actually put trends into place and say, "This month we sold this many of this, and it's because it's hotter than this month." And if you can come down to that kind of data, then you're doing the right sort of marketing. And that's where it all comes from.
But knowing that, I think Boat Noodle is still considered a new company, fairly new company for 2 years old, how did you know the significance of having data? Because I feel like it's quite an amount of money you have to put in.
Actually, no. Right. I think if you started right, you don't actually spend too much of money. I think if a company, well, say the company has operated for past 5 years, and then suddenly they feel like, "Hey, let's go take past 5 years data," then I think probably by then they have spent quite a bit of money to get it back.
Okay.
But I think from the very beginning, we knew pretty well that we need to know, well, getting as much data as we can just mean that we need to know as much info about the business as possible. I think that has itself has been, you know, driving us from the very beginning.
And what's important then in terms of data that you're getting? Because you might be getting some things that it's really not necessary and or some information is so important, but a lot of entrepreneurs actually missed out.
I think a lot of businesses in Malaysia in general, when it comes to marketing, and I think I'm sure Tony will agree with me on this one, we don't know our customers. And that is the biggest data challenge, is you've got to know your customers. And even I struggle, but it's a day-to-day solve. We come up with strategies. to try to get to our customers, trying to get them signed online, trying to get all the data that's going to help us in the future. And then we can remarket to them, obviously, from this data.
What have you found out so far?
So far, I really feel that for restaurants or F&B brands, if you ask me now, that marketing should be based on what customer needs or what people want. Not so much about what a brand like ourselves, what we want to offer, not so much about that. It's about us understanding them and really try our best to figure out what they want or what they would like to buy. And we then, in return, create that for them.
So tell us about your customers then. What do your customers want? More bigger bowls or?
Actually, no, they're okay with the bowls. I see all the complaints. You'll be surprised at nighttime. This is a habit I've learned from him, actually. Late night, 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock, I scroll down the complaints. Scroll down what people are typing, you know, hashtag boat noodle. Straight away, have a look what people are saying. Just get an overall feel, you know. Sometimes I'll go a bit deeper. Even our communications guys will say they'll have a text from me at 1 a.m. or something. And I'll be like, hey, da-da-da-da-da, you know, this happened. It's not the small bowls. They love the bowls. They love the food. They love the flavor. Some people even describe the flavor, how the punchy flavor really got to them. There's a lot of things that are typed that we really like. Of course, there's always the other side of the coin as well, you know. But that is not an issue. The small bowls is definitely not the issue. Not anymore. I'm sure Tony can tell you about first when we started, how the bowls was an issue. Stacking and all that.
Yeah, I mean, now we see the customers has become more mature, if you ask me. Not so much about the hype, you know, not there to Instagram themselves anymore. Well, if you go to our Instagram, if we have a look at the Instagram photos that people tag us or post and hashtag ourselves, is that we see more of a group of friends or family photos together. Not so much of what it used to be when I first came here, you know, about bowls stacking up and yeah. Say, you know what, I whack 50 bowls and I whack 30 bowls. We don't hardly see that now.
And is that a good thing? Is that a healthy thing for a company? Because I think when, yeah, like you said, when you first start out, it's like a hype. And then we're just all wondering, how did Boat Noodle survive for 2 years?
Yeah, in fact, I think that was the very first point, you know, even, you know, during our first interview there, and we knew very well that we have to find our ways. We have to steer ourselves to get our the brand to go to a direction where people are not there just to have a lot of bowls for Instagram.
Yeah.
You know, it has to be something sustainable. It has to be something that people always want to come back. And I think, yeah, that's, of course, the best thing that we hope it happens, because judging by the sales and the number of Instagram posts, number of Instagram posts are still there. It's just that they post different things. They don't post about hitting many, many bowls. And yeah, we used to have a lot of people, you know, some companies or some of the brands calling us about, hey, we want to have eating competitions. I don't see that for the past 1.5 years, I think. We used to have it like quite often.
Okay, so how did you do that? How did you get these mature customers?
First thing first, I think hype. Of course, how we started off is where you manage to attract the people in. So how to make them come back again is all about, if you ask me, I think it's more about how good you make them experience their first experience with, you know, they always want to come back and find out more about things. So in a way, we have more items on our menu, which they probably won't be able to order everything the first visit. They may come back for a second time to order something that they saw the first time. And of course, back in the office, we have our marketing team and I have a graphic design team. We always work on our own food photography. We do everything by ourselves. We have our own camera, we buy our own camera. We always tell customers, actually, you know, when they visit us again, whether they like our Facebook or not, or they follow our Instagram or not, in the shop itself, we have screens. We have the digital screens and keep showing people about new things coming up or things that maybe you haven't tried or facts that we found out, data that we found out, you know, 8 out of 10 people who had this before come back again for this. So we kind of like probably give them more ideas so you make them come back again. And you don't, how you say, the price point maybe. Another thing is you always make them, you know, you don't intimidate people like, you know, if I go there, I'm going to spend at $30 or $25. So we try ourselves to limit ourselves by 10, 15 bucks. So I think, yeah, it's quite indirectly, but I feel that's why people keep coming back.
Next up, we'll find out more. How did Prem Kumar, head of marketing for Boat Noodle, change the marketing strategy when he first stepped foot in the company? So don't go anywhere. This is Marketing Mojo on Resource Center, BFM 89.9.
Build fortunes modestly. BFM 89.9.
Good afternoon. This is Marketing Mojo on Resource Center. Today, we're exploring a marketing case study of the original boat noodle. With us, we have the founder, Tony Lim, and head of marketing, Pramesh Kumar.
Prem, you're here, head of marketing. Walk us through, you know, for the year and a half that you've been with boat noodle. What have you done, maybe like the first 6 months, and then did it work out? Did it not work out? What did you change?
The main thing we changed was the brand identity and design. When I first came on, some of our assets, our digital assets, were not very good. Tony recognized that as well. And when he recognized that, that's the main reason he brought me on board, was the recognition that we're not, just not doing well. We're not reaching out the way we should be reaching out to people. So I took that on board, and the faith was there to create a team and to hire the right people. So I went around basically stealing people left, right, and center. Yeah, I got the right people on board. And the idea from day one was always, we knew the bowls, and the bowls, the hype, was to create, I mean, I don't know if that's the right word, laypak culture?
Laypak,
thank you. Yeah.
Laypak.
Laypak culture. Is to have people sitting there and eating and just enjoying themselves, you know? And even though sometimes the service might not be on point, they remember the time they had with their friends sitting there, and we want to capture that in our marketing. And we went about showing, so instead of showing one bowl, we usually show a whole array of food, you know, so it becomes a family thing. But if you show one bowl, it's one person coming to have a challenge. But if you show a whole bunch of food, it's like everyone can come and sit together and eat, yeah? That really helped us quite a lot as well. Then, of course, we invested in our own video cameras. We did in-house, I mean, I'm not saying we're amazing at doing videos, but you know, everyone's looking on their phone these days. As I learned from, actually learned that from Tony, as one of the lessons I learned was that people are always looking on their phones. Your videos don't have to be amazing. They have to be good enough to see on the phone, you know, and they have to be watchable. It has to be funny or something relating, you know. And we did a Merdeka video and so on and so on and so on. That really helped as well. We post a lot on social media. Most brands will say, you know, like, let's post 15 times a month. I disagree with that on a very high level, because I think your brand has to be in front of people. It's just a reminder you're there. If you just post 15 times a month, how good is that to you?
But it sounds really guerrilla. So if you're always, you know, in the customers, like in your face kind of thing.
That's
right?
What
how do you create?
We go for a soft tone. We don't go like in your face. We give you ideas, you know, like, wouldn't it be a great idea today to try this? You know, instead of saying, go like, come here, you know. If we keep saying that, then the customer will be like, they'll get sick of us. We have to keep it soft. The tone has to be soft. And then we created the tagline, Boat Noodles Family. So we wanted people to have a family atmosphere and to be sitting together and obviously enjoying the time they have at Boat Noodle. Mm. And I think that's what actually brings the people back. I've been trying to put this down as well. We've been trying to work out, you know, these things. And every time you walk, I mean, personally, I walk past the store. Doesn't matter when I'm doing it, I'll stop for a good 5 minutes and just stare at the people sitting there. Just try to figure out what sort of mix we have. Mm. Doesn't matter when I'm doing it, every time I'll do it. And it's always now I've noticed just family, young families, you know, a lot of young families. Yeah. So that's how we went about putting the whole the marketing together as well. But yeah, we did invest into it. It wasn't a lot, but it was worth it. Everything we've invested so far.
Well, anything else that you did which didn't work out?
There's always one.
In fact, a lot, you know, we try to be clever, introduce all kind of new food and things, and you know, we roll it out before we even ready internally, and well, it's within first 2 weeks, you know, it's not working out, then you have to pull it back, and yeah, all your effort wasted. And well, and then you come back to marketing point, and there's one more point that from the very beginning that I keep telling myself is that of course we have been approached by agencies, we have been approached by marketing companies, you know, billboards and magazine and stuff to ask you to advertise, right? So one thing that I knew from, well, one thing I kept doing from the very beginning until like Prem joined us, you know, we have the whole team now, is we believe when you invest in marketing, say to the dollar signs, say you are ready to spend 3,000 ringgit on, I don't know, on magazine or publish, or, you know, even sometime opening a new mall, the malls will come to you like, hey, you know what, yeah, do you take the escalator part of this, take a, you know, we did is, if you're going to charge me 3,000 for that, I'll use this 3,000 to spend on my customers. I would rather let them win the 3,000 ringgit than putting up a big sign that people say you have probably will help you on branding and stuff. But in a way, I feel, nah, we're just going to do it to the customers. I think this is one of the probably little tricks that some brands can pick up.
But then 21 outlets. Hmm. And how did that happen so fast? Is it either do you acquire, you know, other restaurants? What is your strategy for that growth?
Quite organically, if you ask me. But well, people say like, did you, you know, purposely accelerate, you know, the whole opening period time, this and that. But I think, yeah, after having our outlet number 5, number 6, we're pretty sure things are workable. So we kind of put out a 3-year plan. According to the plan, by end of this year, we should have 30. Every day, go to the office, go to the factory. It's about trying to chase the targets and make sure whatever we do every month is still profitable. You know, if the sales projections is intact, the PBT projections is intact, yeah, you're good. Keep going. So we keep going. But we know fact that, you know, of course, you won't have 100 and 200 of these in Malaysia. So we are targeting probably about 80 outlets in Peninsula mm-hmm. by the end of 2018, maybe.
Because I think like a lot of times when it comes to F&B businesses is that, okay, you have maybe 3-4 outlets. It still seems exclusive that people are willing to come to your outlet. Mm. But now that you're almost everywhere, that the demand somehow, does it fall? You know, is that theory true? Is that myth true?
If you look at per outlet respective, it is very true. For example, when we had Publica as our number 4. Well, Publica used to be one of the best performing outlets because we don't have any in KL. Right after when we opened Times Square, you see a bit drop. Then we opened Sunway Putra, which is even nearer to Jalan Duta, and then you get the Publica, right? Then you see drop further. And then Avenue K. Then you see everyone kind of like equalize each other. But as a whole, you still capture a lot more business compared to just one Publica it used to be. You know, it has grown to 4 times of what Publica is doing, but Publica, they themselves has come down.
Yeah, it does cannibalize a little bit, but it's not to the point where you feel like you're going down, you know. It works. Putting across Sunway Putra, Bajaj Times Square, they perform really well. Mm-hmm. Avenue K performs really, really well. I mean, growing so fast, that's always the worry, isn't it? Like, you keep thinking, will it?
Yeah.
We went out to Kota Bharu, Kedah recently.
Kelantan is one of our
best shops.
Long shots, you know?
Yeah.
We thought Kelantan is so far away from us, and nobody will. When I tell people that, hey, you know what, we're opening Kelantan, Kota Bharu next week, they say, what? You know? I said, yeah, it's a place where maybe a lot of major brands not there yet, and Aeon just opened there, right? So it's one of, kind of like first shopping mall, so-called. So I said, you know what, we're going to follow them and go, and yeah, it was really a blast until now. Yeah.
Will you be able to tell us more about different customer behaviors at different parts of maybe KL or Malaysia if you have that data?
Yeah, you notice from the outside, you notice a lot more families in, say, for Empire Damansara, but that's on its own. Like, people have families over there. If you go out to Ampang also, you'll see families, lots of them. If you go into Avenue K or any Bajaj Times Square, for example, it's office. Mm. Yeah. Before work, lunchtime crowd, after work crowd, it's all office. Not so much family orientated. Mostly couples, you know, with friends and stuff. One of the things we do notice is there's a lot more males in the city than out of the city. Out of the city, we have a really high range of females. So you look at your demographic-wise, Boat Noodle has overall over 70% of female, yeah, which is really high. I don't know if it's the small bowls, but
maybe it's, yeah. I would say it's because of the taste, the sour, spicy.
And
yeah.
Knowing these different kind of segments or different kinds of customer at, you know, different areas, do you sort of communicate differently?
We do when we do our advertising. So when we set up our ad values and stuff, we kind of retarget them. So we target properly. So instead of just putting up ads, so you do for example, a sponsored post on Facebook, most people will just press the button, done, lazy, you know. Instead of being lazy, we put down the demographic, what we're after, you know, and we try and target the right people. So we have ads running all the time. It's not so in your face, it's still soft. It's just so say.
And another thing is that, you know, when we go back to Kedah and we go to Kelantan, so there are some artwork that you want to use on social media or, you know, at the outlets level, you want to be able to speak in their dialects,
mm-hmm.
you know, spell your Bahasa Melayu in their way of spelling, because in Alostar, nobody use R, they use Q to replace R. Yeah, that's how the Kedahan always do it. And you got to understand a bit about, you got to just ask more, you know, hey, you know, who's your most famous YouTube guys in Alostar? They are. this is probably, we don't even know if we live in KL. But you go to any of their college, you get some of the young guys, say, hey, you know, who are your very famous YouTubers recently? I'll say, yo, in college, this guy who's famous in things, you know what, let's work with this guy. Because to us, you know, every outlet has got their own proximity in a way that usually, you know, give you your base 75% of your business is these people who are around that outlet. So to us, we are not like the big guys like McDonald's and KFC. They have, like, you know, the same marketing, you know, nationwide. For now, we are still pretty targeted. When we go to different cities or different places, we like to know what's around us. 5 minutes walking, 5 minutes by driving. Who are these people?
Well, just three tips for businesses when they want to run any marketing campaign.
Actually, I'll be honest with you, most of the marketing ideas we do together, like, and he's the brainchild behind it, you know, and I might refine it a little bit, but, like, of course I have my own ideas as well, but generally we do talk a lot about the marketing ideas. I feel very fortunate to be in a business where the owner of the business is there for me to touch base with on a daily basis, so I can actually run the idea past him. I'm not always looking for approval, but, you know, like, end of the day, I'm a Kiwi. You know, this is Malaysia. You know, not all of my ideas are fantastic, and I realize that, and I have to know that, you know. Yeah. And he knows the local better than I do. Yeah.
Well, generally, three things that I have my, you know, we always try to stick to. One, it's not about you. It's all about your customers, what they want and what they need or what they really look for. That's number one. Second thing, be very relevant to them. Relevant in a way, I don't know, family, or relevant in a way, common interest. And things like that. Number three, marketing, whatever budget that you're going to do in any way, you billboard, magazine, even radio, you know. So always remember, it boils down to dollar and cents, and use that dollar and cents to figure out what can you do directly to your customers. It may actually help you to bring faster effect, but sometimes indirect, you can't actually see the direct result of doing that. But these are the three things I think some business can try out.
Well, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
And that was Tony Lim, the founder, and Prem Kumar, head of marketing for The Original Boat Noodle. If you have any feedback for the show, feel free to write to us at enterprise@bfm.my. Thank you for listening. I'm Angeline Tay, and this has been Marketing Mojo on Resource Center, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.